This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670. The.
Say it as many times as anyone on the street or on the station ask me.
Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, you.
There's so many possibilities.
We need like a whole hour just for your analogies. You just need to get them all out.
Hey, man.
I also don't want to keep these people hanging. I feel like there's a lot of fired up people.
Alexa, play Gangsta's Paradise by Coolio.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know what I love about the open?
Tell me what you love.
So after the show on Friday, where we patiently waited to see whether or not there was going to be a deluge that opened up from the sky.
Yeah, it helped me from not walking home while dealing with a downpour.
And you guys are like, oh, it'll be fine. Just get your food and go home. And I was like, you're right. I don't see any umbrellas. No, it rained on me the whole time.
Oh,
but
man.
But when we were waiting for the rain to what we thought would be stop. We were like, oh, let's do an open. Oh, we have all these ideas. We want to do this and this. And then we were talking about analogies and like all this stuff. And instead of like choosing one thing, Robbie Triano, you just leaned into all of the things. And I love it because if we had to explain the actual conversation, we just did in that piece of audio.
We kind of did. That is kind of how it happened. It was very much a brainstorming effort. It was a stream of consciousness, much like the open that you just heard plays. And I love the disclaimer more than the open. Okay, maybe that's just me. But I think that disclaimer, they need to know that just because I say something doesn't mean you should take it too seriously. Like, take it seriously, but not too seriously.
Are you kidding? No, they will not only not take it seriously, they will make up things you said instead. Say you said that and then be like, well, isn't that true? So just know that that's the case.
I'm not really worried about that.
The disclaimer is more for our entertainment than anything else. It is just sports, but that's the good part, guys. It's just sports. So we want to be that show for you as well and have some fun. And we do appreciate you. I'm not huge on the station announcements thing, as you know.
Yeah, but that's okay. I think it has to be a moment in time in which you acknowledge things are changing.
Yes.
And that's what happened today. And now the change is here. It may not feel like as much of a change for you because you've been here with us for quite some time in different capacities, in a full-time role, in a part-time role, in a part-time role,
yes.
And then back to a full-time role.
Yes.
And so Monday through Friday, it's me and you hanging out with the Score listener and the Score watcher. Shout out to the mob.
Yes,
shout out to the mob.
Twitch mob and YouTube stream. So people were talking to me about the YouTube stream the other day when I was out and about somewhere. I had, you know, some cool events, like celebrating some people and just talking to a bunch of people who like tell me how they consume the Score information and stuff like that. And I appreciated that people were just like, oh, this is how I listen to the Score every day. A lot of people mentioned YouTube. If you're international, there are people who move or they like want to listen to the Score overseas. YouTube stream might be the way to go because it's live. So yeah, to everybody who receives the Score, however, whether it's Twitter, Blue Sky, Facebook, MySpace. We haven't even talked about Bill Belichick today. We got to get into that perhaps with Aunt Erin and Mark Rohde.
The Odyssey app, the Rewind feature. And what's great about the Rewind feature.
Podcasts.
If you're trying to catch up, you can change the speeds now. You couldn't always do that, but you can change the speeds. 1.2, 1.5. I'm a 1.5 guy if I'm just strictly listening. I'm a 1.2 guy if I'm doing other things while listening.
I'm a 1 speed and I will rewind just to make sure I heard something correct.
I think you should go up to 1.2. I think it would behoove you to go up to 1.2. That's my personal advice. Remember, it's just advice. It's not something you have to take too much to heart.
I'm the old lady where I'm like, did I hear that right? And then I've got to rewind it over and over again. I'm that person.
So Layla, this morning when I woke up at 4:30... and I go to the gym, and I'm doing my workout. I have my headphones in because I'm listening to Dustin on the pre-show. And this guy comes up, hey. And so I had to, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with this, being a woman who works out. I had to remove my ear
gently just to see what they were talking about at 5:10 in the morning. And he was like, "Hey, man, can't wait to hear what you got to say about this draft." I was like, "Oh, that's right. I do go to work in a couple of hours, and you're asking me right now." And I was like, "Man, I don't know." I mean, I did know, but I was like, "I don't know about this draft." Because that is kind of how I feel about the draft. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and we'll get into it. We also want to get into it with you. We want to take calls a couple segments from now, so 312-644-6767. Let's just tell the people what they need to know. We broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You can join us in all the ways we just mentioned, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jenna Duddleston, and Matt Anaya. So thanks to them as well. And also, of course, our producing crew, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer helping out. And, you know, poor Molly had to deal with the short microphone that broke during the last segment.
It is tailored to you.
But it's great.
Like they knew.
As a 5'3 person, this is great for me. So I'm gonna take this W where I can.
The adaptation. This is a great day for me. Not only because we're announcing this new show and people are excited, I'm excited. But also later tonight, I'm going to the movies. Excited about that. I'm going to see a preview screening of Thunderbolts, the new Marvel movie.
Cool.
So I know you're not a big Marvel person, but I'm just jacked about that. So I'll let you guys know tomorrow whether it's a eh or a ah. Like it's either eh or ah. But today's going to be a great day. I already got my workout. I was on the lakefront, Layla, and I ran. And I don't really do that a lot, but I went to the podiatrist. They said I could run, so I ran. I ran a mile.
You got the all go? You got the clear?
I got the all go. Now, my conditioning says I'm not far to go, but I can go. I just can't go as far as I would like to go. That's the whole thing.
Well, that'll happen.
It's kind of like the Bears draft. Can't go as far, maybe, as I want to go. Or the Cubs. I can win games, but can't go as far as I want to go.
This series for the Cubs, and we'll hit on all of this during the show, as we mentioned. Mark Rohde joins us at 11. If you missed the news, this show is called Raheemy and Harris. Hi. You probably
Are
know
you
me already. I am Raheemy.
Can I be Harris?
Mars Hall is Harris. Not to confuse the people.
No, but also Dan Weider is going to join us at 12:25. I'm excited about that.
Right.
Because then you've got like it's like Take the North is within our show.
Oh, yeah. And Grody has on his Take the North shirt today, which is good. We also have Anthony Heron joining us at 1. And, yeah, I just want to say again, I have been here in multiple versions for the last 5 years. And I've started co-hosting, as I mentioned, with Danny Parkins and David Haw, just filling in here and there as a co-host in 2017. Before that, I had a segment with Lawrence Holmes that we call the monthly visitor every month. And Lawrence is, of course, a huge mentor of mine. I co-hosted with Matt Spiegel many times on either Hit and Run or Inside the Clubhouse or whatever he was doing, because Matt Spiegel is a man of many talents and many traits. And I think that's the point here, is that this has been a part of my life for many years, almost all of them since I've lived here, and it'll be 10 in October. And I know that's nothing compared to a lot of you. And I like it when you share your Bears stories with us, when you talk about your fandom, when you tell us how long you've been a fan. There's many ways to be fans of a team. But the point is, the one consistency has been Score listeners. We may change, and we get included and brought into the fold. And we try to do that with everybody who comes here too. You know, you and I, Marshall. That's something that's great about the Score is how, if you cover sports in this city and you want to talk about it more, then we're here for you. So that is something that, like, I've been the happy recipient of. And if we keep that going like we have in the past, then I'm happy about that. And I thank you again for the support, because our numbers were so good for so long. And I was so surprised to see it when I first started as a regular host. So that's always meant a lot to me as well, is the support that truly matters. And it's not unnoticed by me and never unappreciated.
I think people wondered, you know, well, okay, Raheemy and Harris, what's that going to be like, right? And I think we've gotten a little bit of a taste, but not like a full-on because we're waiting for a day like this when we could announce ourselves to the world. And I think coming off of the situation that we were in leading up to this, I'm not gonna lie, difficult situation for me. I enjoyed working with both you and Dan, and when Dan left, I mean, I wasn't even here when everything went down the way it did. It just, things changed, and there was a shift, and I don't know that I was ready for a shift of that nature, like tectonic plates shifting in Chicago sports media landscape. And I think you coming in and being like, hey, it's going to be okay, I think that has led to this point. And I think things are better than okay now. I'm hyped.
Well, I mean, I said it before when it I think needed to be said, and I will say it again. We change. You don't. And you are who matters here. So we want to hear from you. We like listening to you. I know not every segment will be for everybody, but that doesn't mean that we can't have some fun in the meantime.
I'm here for the fun. I that's what I signed up for exclusively, is just the fun parts. So.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's never just the fun, but
yeah, I know. It's like when you join a sports team, right? Like, oh, I love playing basketball. Does that mean I love every basketball drill that we do? No, I don't. But I did them because I wanted playing time. I mean, oh, I got to play defense for real. I got to set screens. Oh, okay. And then I grew to love those parts of basketball practice as well. In fact, I was that one dude. It's going to sound real lame. I like suicides. I enjoyed suicides.
Yeah, I always liked, that's what we called him too. Just, you know, running back and forth, you know, first the half court line, and then the next line, and then the next line, and the next line. We went farthest first and then went back and forth.
Wait, you did like a reverse suicide?
I guess. I don't know. That's just how we ran them.
So we did free throw line, back, half court, back, opposing free throw line, back, full court, back.
I forget what the order was, but I thought we started with half, and then we'd divide the court in half, and then we would go farther.
Okay, this must be a Texas translation thing.
I think it was a find a way to make PE fun thing. Like, they would just tell us what line to run
to. Wait, you ran suicides in PE class?
Yes.
I've never heard of that. I've only had to run suicides in organized sports. What? I would have been like, yo, y'all go ahead, give me a bad grade in PE. I'm not running suicides in the middle of the day between math class and
history.
Wait a
minute, you just said you like suicides. Wait a minute.
But I think his point is, like, that's something you should sign up for. It's not something that should be, like, baseline.
Think about all the people you went to. What grade was this? Is this elementary or middle school?
I did suicide starting in elementary.
That is
illegal. That should be illegal.
That is punishment.
We liked them. Like, I was one of the fastest, but my lung capacity was terrible at the time.
Yeah, that's child
abuse. So, like,
abuse.
I would just tire myself out. I was like, well, I got the legs for this, but I don't have the lung capacity.
They're raising straight athletes in Texas. Suicides, kindergarten, let's go.
I mean, I guess so. Like, right? Like, what?
This is crazy. In elementary school, we were playing like four square and tetherball and volleyball, kickball. We were doing elementary school. Suicide does not.
We did that during recess, but we didn't do that during PE.
You had PE and recess?
Yeah. We were outside.
Hold up. You had PE and recess?
And if you finished your lunch early, which we all tried to do, you could be outside again for like extra recess during your lunch period.
We did not have recess. We just had PE. PE was the same as recess. I don't. Okay, this is a geographical thing.
Yeah,
a regional
because we
thing.
We could be outside most of the time.
Oh, because it wasn't really cold.
It was hot, but like you know, you just kind of went with it. But no, yeah, a lot of our school day was spent like outside.
That's crazy.
And then it was also spent like doing as many like arithmetic problems in a minute that you could possibly do.
Johnny McTwitchy, Layla had Bobby Knight as a PE teacher. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I had Miss Pack and Miss Bills, and they were awesome.
I learned so much. I see, this is the thing. How long have we known each other?
10 years.
No, it's over a decade. I learned something very new about you. That's, woo.
Yeah, 847, fifth grade. Yeah, for me, I think it was about fifth grade. And it was awesome because I was keeping up with like the cool track athletes who were actually good. The problem was I could only do so many and they had like way more stamina. Like the people who were doing that when I was growing up, they were awesome at all of like the running events we had at field days and stuff.
Okay, I'm learning. I'm the one who has missed out on life as a child, because we have people texting us in saying not having PE and recess separately is child abuse. Then we have 773, I'm a CPS alumni, and we had PE and recess. So apparently, yeah, I didn't have recess. Alabama, what can we say? About 45th, 46th in education. Although my schools were good. My schools were good. But statewide, not necessarily the thing.
Yeah, I miss the good old second recess. Foursquare was like socialization time. Or like you'd chat with tetherball. But when PE was here, no. Your job was to run around. Seriously.
Did you have to do the presidential fitness test?
That was, no, I don't think so. Maybe, I don't know. We all passed it, I guess.
Where you did pull-ups and ran the mile.
We did it, but like we all just, I don't know what the result was.
Sounds like you guys are in better shape than us if you're doing suicides in elementary school. I don't know.
We were just the beneficiaries of good weather. That's really what it came down to. But running lines at the gym was definitely a thing. Like,
okay.
As an elementary school kid. And like you just hope you wore the right clothes to PE that day.
I didn't know about the extra recess after lunch. I feel like I've learned something about this area of the country and also Texas, or really just about how I was deprived as a child in Alabama. That's what I've learned today.
I mean, see, that's why exchanging ideas is a good thing.
Free marketplace and all?
I think it's fun. I do want to get into, now that we've defined the relationship a bit, and I appreciate you guys hanging with us on that. We do want to get your thoughts on the Bears draft. What grade do you want to give the draft? We will talk about it a little bit more coming up in our next segment, but we also want to listen to you. Like, the text line has been popping off today. Twitch is on. We love all the feedback. Caller Meatball Machine. If you don't know about that, the Odyssey app, leave a voice message, especially because I feel like the Meatball Machine has become a place where people just vent from time to time. And if you're okay with giving us those voice messages and you trust us, I think we will use it judiciously. But sometimes the just venting Meatball Machine is also really good.
It went from the idea that the Meatball Machine was therapeutic to the Meatball Machine is an actual destination for therapy and getting your thoughts out there and letting people know. Yeah, just talk it out. And with us, yourself, whoever, talk it out.
Sports thoughts. You know, we can do sports thoughts, especially because of the Bears draft just wrapping up. So this week is probably a good idea for the Meatball Machine. Tell us what you think. But we also want to know, we'll take calls starting at 10:45-ish today, 10:40. So 312-644-6767. What we do want to give as far as the grades to the Bears draft. This show is called Rahimi and Harris. You're the one who's been here, though. So I think you, and I think you deserve more of an announcement than me. You're listening to The Score.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
We were going to just continue to bring really good football players in here. And when you look at the roster, like, you feel good about really all 22 guys. Starting and playing in a pro football game. So when you're taking these guys, you know that it's going to increase the level of competition. You know that you're just throwing more talent, and everything usually settles out the way it's supposed to when you continue to do that. That's what I think really good rosters do.
That was Ryan Poles as we try to determine what grade we give the Bears draft. And the funny part is, we know that sometimes you love a draft class and then you don't like how the results turn out on the field or how the team makes it fit all together. I did have a good laugh when Ryan Poles drafted his way out of the third round over the weekend on Friday. I talked about the third round being the danger zone for Ryan Poles just based on previous draft picks and unfortunately guys not panning out. It's not their fault they were drafted there. But it is an indication of how the team views that round. When do things get developmental? When do things become people just trying to reinvent the wheel? And unfortunately, I think there was a lot of that going on previously for the last three drafts that we've seen. So, you know, think safe. Points to the temple. You don't actually have to worry about the third round if you just get out of it entirely. Which is, I think, what happened a little bit, but it's still the details of the picks that we did see with the Bears, where I think, Marshall, we can point to part of it as being clearly guys got off the board earlier than maybe they would have liked, right? Three tackles go before the Bears were able to draft at 10. They get the tight end they want in Colston Loveland. Comps to Sam Laporta, as we know, in Detroit. But when they decide to draft, say, Ozzie Trapillo in the second round, you know, after they saw all the running backs go off the board. You know, Bears, we talked a lot about the need for running back. They don't end up drafting one until the seventh round in Kyle Monongai out of Rutgers. That was the 233rd pick overall. The rest of the class, Luther Burden, that was a very sexy pick from what a lot of people say, the wide receiver out of Mizzou. Shamar Turner, defensive lineman out of Texas A&M, also in the second round. Ruben Hippolyte, the linebacker from Maryland, known for his speed. Zah Frazier, the defensive back from UTSA, and Luke Newman from Michigan State, and that rounds out your class. It's a robust class. It's more than we saw last year, that's for sure, just personnel-wise. But in a draft where you could argue that when 5 through 50 were what a lot of experts thought were relative in talent level, the Bears decided to stand pat or draft back. You know, they traded back to get more value. They did not move up, you know, so that I think gives you an indication of how they feel about where they were in the draft based on perhaps who was off the board at the times it was their turn to pick.
So since we visited last on Friday and we were talking about Colston Loveland and we both said, okay, this is an offensive pick for an offensive mind, and you've got to get Ben Johnson the tools he feels like he needs to get it done. We know he runs a lot of things out of a two tight end set. And I said, but the rest of the draft will tell us, you know, what's really good. And the fact that, as you mentioned, they got out of the third round, but in the process, they acquired three different picks from picks 39 to 62. And I marry that with the statement before the draft about them getting three impact players and possibly four. And the move to get a third second round pick tells you they expect Shamar Turner at number 62, the defensive tackle out of Texas A&M, to be an impact player. And I look at the offensive tackle and Ozzie Trapillo, when we all thought maybe Ariante Ursay would be the guy that they could have taken at 41. And I look at that and I was like, all right, they clearly didn't have as high a grade on him as other people did, because he was right there at 41. And they said, let's get more value in the second round by making a trade and going back a little bit to get Trapillo and getting Shamar Turner. I don't have a problem with any of that. And I know this is a deep running back draft class, but if you're trying to tell me the Kyle Monongai at 233 overall, that's a guy that's going to come in and be the 1A, 1B, however you want to define it, with DeAndre Swift, your offense better be spectacular. Your offense better be spectacular. And I don't want to hear any issues about the running back position based on what we know is on their roster now. Now, could they go out and get a free agent running back of some kind, make an addition off somebody who gets, you know, waived a post roster waving? Yeah, they could do that. But looking at what I look at right now, we talk about draft grades, I'm giving it a C+. I would give it an I, because that's what I give every draft, but I know people are going to hold a gun to my head and say, no, you pick something. So it's incomplete to me, because I don't know how any of these guys are really going to turn out.
That's how I feel. You know, the question, and we'll go over this with Mark Grody, we'll talk about it with Anthony here and later in the show, is whose draft was this? Yeah, and it's funny because it's always a combination. But when I consider what we talked about the entire time leading up to the draft, once Brian Poles even said this at the owners' meetings, free agency was over, in his mind, or pretty much over, I get that indication. He also told you what he was going to do when he talked about acquiring talent in free agency and acquiring need and then being able to go out and draft the best player available. I disagree with that concept. You know, you drafted for need when you drafted Caleb Williams. Perhaps you drafted best player available when you decided to take Roma Dunze. You're trying to figure out how all these pieces fit together. But the running back room is not strong enough to me. And especially in a draft where you had a running back class that was very, very complimented, very vaunted. It wasn't just Ashton Jeanty and some dudes. It was a very deep running back class. That's why we saw them all go early. And the Bears, we talked so much about them having three picks in the top 50, four in the top 72. That was going to be their album cover. You thought in that four, you were going to get an offensive lineman. You were going to get somebody who reflected the draft's talent level when it came to running back. And for that, I give it a C. I understand that they're thrilled about Luther Burden. I want to see how this all fits together. Tell me how much ball you have for everybody to go around. Because when I'm talking about Cole Kmet, for example, not getting enough targets last year, and that's a function of the offense, and Gerald Everett was getting reads that perhaps should have gone to other people, let me know how you put this together in a way that makes it function where everybody's happy and producing. Because what I see right now is you throwing the ball way too much and not having enough running back-wise to give everybody what you want, which is an offense based on the run game. I say that with respect to DeAndre Swift and what he brings to the table, not as a downside. Where's your downhill runner in this group?
I guess it's Kyle Manungai. I guess that's who it's supposed to be based on, or Roschon Johnson.
You're trying
he's still
to make
on the
it
roster.
Roschon Johnson? We're still talking about Ian Wheeler? You know, and we're still talking about how this team needs offensive line depth.
Well, I mean, they addressed Ozzie Trapillo. I don't know how good he will be. The issue with Trapillo for me, and I say issue, the concern, the question I have, I mean, he doesn't play left tackle. At least that hasn't been his regular position. He can play left tackle, but from all accounts, his left tackle isn't as good as his right tackle. So now I go back to, this is what I was thinking when they took Trapillo, and I'm reading up on him to make sure I remember right. Because I looked at tackles coming into the day, right? You're like, okay, they need a tackle. And one of my things was, they need a left tackle, right? But then I go back to what Ryan Poles told us about the possibility of left tackle being a thing for Darnell Wright. I'm not a fan of that. I think Darnell Wright has settled in on the right side, and you should probably let him be that guy on the right side. But looking at what they have, is it a matter of Ozzie Trapillo, Braxton Jones, Kieran Amagaji for left tackle, or is it those three guys plus Darnell Wright as a possibility at left tackle? That's what my first question is. And that's a scary question because I thought we'd be getting settled now, but we still have more questions even though the draft is over.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a blanket look when I consider how I feel about certain draft principles. I always want some offensive line in a draft. It's a matter of how, especially when you know you've got picks of value like that. You took the second graded by many tight end, second, you know, at 10 overall, and I get that. But when you originally had those high level, you know, picks in the draft, you know, your 39, for example, and then what you had previous to your trade with Buffalo.
Which trade with Buffalo?
Yeah, exactly. Also, what's up with pick 109? Why didn't you want it? Is there a superstition there that is concerning to anybody? That was hilarious. The saga of pick 109. That was one of the funnier things I had seen, where they traded it away, got it back, and then traded it away again.
And to the same team, right? So that's
that was just funny.
That's what's even more making you wonder. Overall, here's why I said C+, but I just feel like they should have a starting left tackle from the, and maybe they do, and I'm just not reading the tea leaves right. But they need to have a starting left tackle. So I thought coming out of this draft, and they need to have a starting running back coming out of this draft, and maybe they do, and I just am an unfamiliar. But I will say this: one of the reasons I was okay with the Luther Burden the third is because of the Deebo Samuel comparisons. And if he's going to be a Deebo Samuel type and Colston Loveland's going to be this crazy route runner at tight end, then all of a sudden I could see Samuel maybe in the backfield on some plays. And that changes the dynamic of what Ben Johnson can do with his offense,
well,
perhaps.
Burden is a slot guy. Like, Burden was slot primarily at Missouri. That's where his production is. Like, when I was trying to figure out who's your slot And I think I put like seven different bears into that position. At one point, I was like, oh, well, DJ Moore is produced out of this. Oh, maybe that's Loveland. Oh, perhaps that's Zacchaeus, who they got in free agency. Olamide Zacchaeus. And I was like, oh, no, no, it's definitely Luther Burden. Like, that was one of those where I'm like, okay, that position is square. You know what you're getting there. So I just go back to the principle of, though, your line is not set. You told us that basically when you had to trade significant capital to acquire two guards and you had to go out and spend in free agency to get a center. That still doesn't address what I still think is the most important position on the line, which is your left tackle outside of your center. Like your center has become more crucial. I feel like it's left tackle, center, 1-1A. So you're telling me that out of what you've seen and how you want competition at these positions, that you're okay somewhat with what you're seeing at LT. Like, that's where I need to see the depth chart here based on the draft you just had.
They don't have a depth chart. I know that part. I know that answer. They don't have a depth chart.
They say they don't have a depth chart. Here's a rule. Anytime a coach says he doesn't have a depth chart, and I hear it, especially before college football, every year.
It may not be written down, but it exists. It may not be written down, but it exists. It exists in his head. If you force someone to tell you, if you put the lasso of truth, if Wonder Woman herself came in, Diana, she came in here, put the lasso of truth on these coaches, they would tell you what their depth chart is. There is an order.
Do you know why? You have to figure out your personnel groupings.
And back to so you talk about Luther Burden. One of the things, like, if he's in the slot, and that's cool if you're talking about three wide receivers. But if we're doing all this stuff out of play action, how often are three wide receivers going to be on the field?
Also, here's the other piece of this. What do we know about a new head coach when he comes into the NFL? Players come and go. Guys who you thought were talented and established suddenly are no longer because it's a new system.
So who's in jeopardy here?
Who's the odd man out? What referendum is this on the talent that you did have existing that you haven't addressed yet?
I don't know that Ben Johnson thinks the Bears are as skilled as they... Well, actually, I do know that Ben Johnson doesn't think the Bears are as skilled as they need to be based on who was taken with the 10th pick and the 39th pick. I think he was like, we got to get more skill in here, more explosive playmakers in here. And so I'm just wondering, like you just said, who's the odd man out, whether that's a depth thing or off the roster thing. Who's not going to be on the field the majority of the time when you're running different personnel?
We want to know what you think. What do you grade the Bears draft? What are your thoughts? 312-644-6767. You can text us. You can call us. You can leave a voicemail on the meatball machine on the 670 feature on the Odyssey app. Let us know. It is Rahimi and Harris on the score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
That was what was so cool about the last few weeks, was getting with Ryan, getting with Ian, getting with Trey, getting with Jeff King, and really huddling up and figuring out how we wanted to sequence the whole board. And to Ryan's credit, he stayed as disciplined as I've ever seen in terms of staying true to how we set it up.
That, of course, is Ben Johnson. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. I was about to say the midday show. We're on midday.
We're still the midday show.
Yep.
Which is a little more defined now. We have defined our relationship. We have defined our name, our title.
All of the things. And Mark Grody is going to join us as well on a regular basis. That's as big of an announcement as any. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. We go to the phones, 312-644-6767. How do you grade the Bears draft? It's our topic of the day. What are your thoughts? Who should we start with first? I know who we got to start with first. Frank and Oak Park, let's rock.
Hey, guys, congratulations on the gig being made official. I give the Bears draft a B+. I didn't really have questions till day three. Loveland, he was almost on a par with Warner in most services I saw. Burden, I think they're going to try to get him in as a slot guy right away to make up for their free agent loss. Trapillo, His strength is pass blocking. Wouldn't you like to have a reserve where you know the guy is plus grade as far as pass blocking from what we've seen? Turner, now, I don't know with that if he's recovered from that. He's got a rod in his leg, so that'll be something to see. Hippolyte, I think they drafted him for traits, and maybe they can turn him into something. He runs fast, but I don't know about that. Zah Frazier, he's fast, and he's got a nose for the ball. That's good for a backup DB that you can probably plug in on special teams right away. Now, Newman, I don't know. If he can play center, maybe that's a plus, but otherwise I think he's practice squad. And Mungai, he doesn't fumble. That's good. The problem is I don't think he adds a lot. He doesn't have like a second or maybe certainly not a third gear. And with that, if the line's okay, he'll be functional. If not, you're probably going to have a question mark. So that's what I got to say.
Frank in Oak Park, I appreciate that. I feel the same way. Like, the first thing that stood out to me about Hippolyte Rubin, the linebacker from Maryland, was his speed, right? Like, that's something that just jumps at you off the page.
They said jetpacks. He rides on jetpacks on his feet. That's what they said about him.
There are definitely some obvious traits that you can tell with some of the draft picks, like Trapillo being 6'8". You know, we know that is something that matters to Ryan Poles looking at offensive linemen.
Yeah, Ryan Poles, women out here trying to date. At 6'8", that strikes a chord.
I'm here to tell you, I have dated too many men over 6 feet tall, and I don't even know what they're saying because the words go over my head.
Especially in a crowded space.
It's really hard to hear.
If you're in a bar or something, you can't hear a word.
Yeah, so height is not everything. I'm just going to throw that out there. I would like to go to the phones again. 312-644-6767. We are talking about the draft. Let's go to Stuart. Stuart, you're on the Midday Show on The Score.
Hey, good morning, guys. Congrats on your show. I'd give it a B with the possibility of being a solid B+. I mean, Johnson said before that he likes creating mismatches, and I think with these two tight ends, he's going to have mismatches against nickels running, linebackers passing. And then at the combine, they asked him, what's your favorite position or most important position in your situation? And he said slot. And I don't think he could have got a better slot in this draft. The defensive guys they got, Fisben Allen's scheme, he's aggressive. He'll use them. Overall, I think this is a solid draft. I mean, I think we're going to have a very potent offense this year. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the hope, right, is trying to figure that out. So
I like the callback to that question about what's his favorite position, the slot, and then the pick of Luther Bird in the third. It was clear to me on that pick. I was like, oh, this is a Ben Johnson picks straight up. And really, you could argue the first three picks were Ben Johnson picks because they had to get a tackle. They had to.
At least in one of these draft picks. And again, especially when you originally had four in the top 72. Like that's when you had your pick of that level of talent, respectively speaking. Let's go to Mark in South Bend. Mark, you're on with Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Hey, congratulations, Layla, for getting the show. And Marshall, it's always good to chime in with you. I'm going to give it a C, and I'll tell you why. We didn't shore up the defense enough, especially the defensive line. When he got the 39-yard pick, we went for the wide receiver, but there was also a TJ Sanders, a defensive tackle from South Carolina, and at 43, Alfred Collins, two defensive tackles that we needed, I think, to shore up the defensive line. Even though these guys might be backups, replacements, they'll be able to give Montez Sweat and the other guys some breathers when the other team are making long drives to the end of the game.
Yeah, I completely understand where you're coming from in that. And I think the Ozzie Trapillo and the Shamar Turner, they're going to be measured against guys that they could have had at that 41 spot, right? They had a plethora of options because they had two picks in three slots, and they got out of the second slot, and they traded back. Now, they did get a higher fourth pick than what they would have had, but listen, my issue with the Bears, in large part, consistently has been who's getting to the quarterback. Now, Dennis Allen might have something planned that I don't know about,
but I didn't come out of this draft saying, oh, that guy's definitely getting to the quarterback. Where's the edge?
I sincerely think it's still Dyer Odenbo for them.
Okay, if that's one guy.
Yeah, but if you look at how they paid him and you look at the responsibility and just what he's almost done, and I'm not saying it's proven by any means. I'm pointing out how they are measuring his effectiveness at trying to get to the quarterback or at least being disruptive. I feel like that was something that they visualized and communicated, at least with not only their roster spot, the free agent effort, but also the money. So that's where I see it. But it is something like where you're asking the question about a guy like Grady Jarrett. You know he can't be in that shape and in that condition forever. And if you really want that waves of pass rush, how are you going to see that working out? I love that we can talk about strong comps for the guys like Kyle Monongai, where you're talking about him in the seventh round. You know, for example, the Beast had him rated as their 20th ranked running back. And that may mean something higher when you're talking about the strength of the running back class. I viewed it a little differently, for example. I thought that the strength of the running back class meant you had more running backs that could have been first rounders. Or if they were high second rounders, they could play like a first rounder. Kind of like what people thought about Luther Burden, where he was a guy who happened to be in the second round, but was considered a first round talent. That's how I viewed it, just that the top line of the class was so strong. But that was my interpretation.
I'm looking at it, and again, that's why my original answer to the question, what draft grade would you give the 2025 NFL draft for the Bears, is an I, because it's incomplete. None of us know. We have thoughts, we have opinions, but none of us know, and we won't know until really 3 years from now. That's when you'll be able to give an honest assessment about what these players become. But I'm with you in that there were needs that I didn't feel like were met. I'll see what happens with the defensive backs, whether they convert someone to a safety, whether the edge pick comes later and somebody's cast off from another roster. So I reserve the right to change that. But coming out of the draft and knowing what they already had on their roster, who's getting to the quarterback?
Yeah.
Who's getting to the quarterback?
Well, it's supposed to be the guy you signed to an extension that you traded a second-round pick for who only got 5.5 last year. But I'm going to give some grace at least to everybody. Because, no, not just that.
Oh, okay.
The talent and the lack of function on both sides of the ball.
The coaching staffs from a year ago and just the team and the way things played out.
Like you didn't run enough plays to get your offensive weapons their appropriate amount of production. You just didn't. That's a function of bad setup. You know, rookie quarterback as well. You weren't good enough defensively to have guys fresh because they were on the field too much. You know, some of this can be factored into that. But as we try to visualize this and see how this all gets put together, I'm still just a big believer in building on the line and then moving out from the ball. But that's not how this regime works. This is not just an announcement of the show name, Raheemy and Harris. Mark Grody's going to be in with us 2 days a week, which is exciting. You know, we've always enjoyed having a third mic on the midday shifts here. I can say that going back to 2020. So that is happening. We are happy to tell you about it, and we're going to bring him in next. Mark Grody. Grody
Grote,
time.
Grote.
All of it. Maybe he'll even sing Metallica next to talk draft on the Score.
You ain't my bitch.
Okay.